And then in the end, the daughter whispers into his ear, you know, that when he comes back to town, she wants him to be the one to take her virginity. You just listened to the opening theme, Cosmo vs. Alien, from the anime Arakawa Under the Bridge, X Bridge, by Eitsuko Yakushimaru. And this is the 64th episode of the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast, where our sole mission in life is to make you more addicted to anime. My name is Mitsugi, and today I am joined by two of my favorite hosts in the whole wide world, who's sitting right across from me.
I would rather not be anywhere else.
Hey, what about me? I'm not sitting next to you.
Yeah, and Roko, of course, who's up in Maine.
Maine, it's snowing right now,
It's snowing up in Maine, huh? Damn,
it's snowing.
Well, geez, you're like 2,000 miles north of us, so I guess I can see that.
Very true.
That is too cold for my blood.
This winter, we need to go snowboarding together.
You should come up to Maine and we'll go to Sugarloaf, man.
Oh, man, I wish I could, but... I just don't think I can get time off work to do that, you know?
I got a bedroom for you.
Oh, that's a pretty sweet name, Sugarloaf. Anyway, so you can find us at www.aaapodcast.com, iTunes, Facebook, www.addnetwork.net, and nerdnexus.com. Chiaki has built a lovely website for you guys to come and explore and have fun on. We have a forum that fills up daily with lots of new people. Lots of really great personalities in the forum, such as the anime cow, the grizzly bear, many other assorted animals. And speaking of the forum, we have new forum members: Market 11, Huang Dong 52, Jason MBS 11, X7SH9, and Anime Girl at ymail.com. I have a feeling that was supposed to be gmail.com, but it was a typo.
Maybe it was Yahoo Mail? Maybe.
Wouldn't it be at Yahoo?
And of course, not to leave out the other people on the forum, but everybody on our forum is wonderful.
We also, Rekka and Lady Phantom Hive recently had a birthday. So, happy birthday to you guys. And I think the Green Gentleman recently said he graduated, so congratulations to the Green Gentleman as well.
Congratulations.
Conflatulations. Four people. Got the trivia question right. Sakura Angel, Stop the Humans, Jason, MBS 11, and Red the Sock all got the trivia question correct for this week, and the winner for the week was Sakura Angel. So, congratulations to you, Sakura Angel. I'm guessing that might be a girl. It's by the name. And the answer to the trivia question was Porco Rosso. And yes, Red the Sock and Jason MBS, I agree, is both underrated and fine flying fun. I agree. Oh, Heather, right? No, Miyazaki said that his new movie would not be a sequel to Porco Rosso, right? I heard a report that I think he denied that.
I think he did deny that.
Although I would have loved to have seen it.
That probably would have been good. I liked Porco Rosso a lot.
Porco Rosso was fun, except it's very cliche at the end with the whole, ugh, kiss him and he turns back into a human. I mean, come on. Jeez. You know, the Prince and the Frog or whatever. So what are we going to do today? We are going to talk about our recommended and not-so-recommended live-action anime and movies. We've seen quite a bit of live-action over the years, and, you know, we feel like we can recommend some good ones to you guys, and, of course, recommend ones that you don't touch with a 50-foot pole.
Yeah, not to mention there are some live-action movies coming out which we've mentioned, such as the live-action Akira with Leonardo DiCaprio, or James Cameron picking up Battle Angel Alita. A lot of good live-action stuff occurring out there, and we're not going to talk about those, but it just seemed like a good topic to have, because gearing up for those new live-action movies, people might want to watch some old live-action anime.
I just need to say that I am convinced that the live-action Akira is going to be awful.
That should be really awesome. Anything live-action Akira?
It's gonna suck. I mean, the live-action anime... I mean, the anime Akira is trippy enough. I just don't know how they're gonna do the end.
I don't know. They did do Inception. And that was on crap.
Inception's more like tidal waves and buildings collapsing. We're talking about, like, a person melting, turning into a giant blob puddle thing.
That's freaking awesome to me, man.
Alright, so what else are we gonna do? We're gonna take an anime news break, get you guys caught up on your anime news... And then we're going to have some reviews. I'm going to do a review on Golden Boy, which is a very funny anime. And Chiaki is going to do Castle of Cagliostro.
A good old loop on the third movie.
That's it. You know it.
Gotta love it.
We're kind of past our impressions now, since most of these animes are around their ninth episode. You know, it's a little late for impressions. So for the impressions we didn't get to, we're sorry. We'll try to get all the reviews done. That's just how it goes.
We can only do our best.
Indeed.
So, when talking about the live-action anime, / manga, I guess, shall we start with the best?
I don't know. I like to end on a positive note, so maybe we should start with the worst.
You want to start with the worst? Well, in my opinion, the worst on this list has got to be the Eerie movie.
Even worse than Dragon Ball Evolution?
Yeah, the Eerie movie sucks.
Wow.
The Zyra movie, it's Zyramu, which is the name of the movie. It came out in 2001. This anime, for those of you that don't know what Zyram's about, it's about, well, according to the movie, it's about two average people who work in the electronic services industry, and they stumble upon the intergalactic bounty hunter Edia and her partner, the artificial intelligence named Bob. Both men are accidentally transported to the Zone, a virtual reality in which Bob has trapped Iria's latest prey, a biological weapon named Zerum. This is not... It's not even like the anime. You know, I don't know what they're basing this off of, but it certainly is not the anime. To be frank. Oh, and by the way, Iria from the anime is hot. I mean, she's hot. We just talked about this, right?
Yeah.
She is very, very hot.
I mean, I would bang Iria. I would not throw her out of bed in the morning. But the chick that plays Iria in this movie is just a complete disappointment.
Really?
She needs to be literally like a supermodel. Like take the hottest, like, most badass sexy. You know how there's, like, cute sexy, and then there's, like, badass sexy? They needed to find, like, the hottest, fittest, badass Japanese girl, and then, like, deck her out in like, the Iria garb. And then,
absolutely. They need to give her a giant pulse rifle and crazy-looking, like, post-nuclear war armor, like in Fallout. That'd be hot.
The actress who plays Iria in the movie, her name's Yuko Moriyama. If you look her up, I'll go ahead and put her name down here in the Skype bar for you guys, so you guys can check her out. The actress, it's not like she's ugly, but I mean, part of the appeal for the movie is how attractive Iria is, and the movie just doesn't have a good budget. You know, it's one of those, like... You know how Zerum has head has, like, a hat on it that can, like, fly? Because he's, like, alive. Roko, you've seen this anime, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know Roko's... You know how Zerum has that hat thing that he can, like, throw it, and it, like, has, like, another mouth on it?
Yeah.
Well, it'd be like... Imagine, instead of having, like, an actual, like, monster thing flying through the air trying to bite you, it's almost like they, like, it'd be like them, like, throwing, a cloth hat through the air and, like, videotaping it.
Yeah. Man, I'm looking at this girl, man. They failed at picking a proper area.
Yeah, she's just not good. I mean,
it just looks like you're just not even hot.
I think it's the hair, though, because look at her, like, normally, not in area hair.
They need to pick an actress who's good with Iria.
Oh no, I get what you're saying, but like.
Anyway, I want to move on from Iria, but this is not a movie I would watch. It's like, take away the sexual flair and take away all the cool like sci-fi space battle stuff, and just basically have really low budget fight scenes and visual.
Sounds like crap.
It's like your typical 1991 Japanese live action movie, like. I would compare it to the live-action La Blue Girl, where they have, like, where like, the tentacles and the tentacle scenes were, like, garden, like, green-painted garden hoses.
Nah.
I mean, it's just, like, it's about as poorly budgeted as you can get. And also the dubbing, and not the dubbing, but the subtitles are really poor for the movie. So, I don't know. I'm thinking we can maybe flip-flop back and forth from bad to good, you know?
No.
No?
We should just get all the bad out the way.
You really get out the way? Move, bitch!
Get out of the way! Alright.
Well, why don't you just go ahead and roll one off, then?
I'm actually gonna roll two off, because I'm gonna say Dragon Ball Evolution, and not really say much more about that, because I think everyone knows the suck fest that was.
I think we've already beaten that horse to death, like, on three different episodes.
Exactly. So, I'm just putting it out there that it sucks, and it sucks. Yeah. But,
anyway, so...
So, live-action Sailor Moon.
Oh, my God.
Is the next one I want to talk about. And I don't think you're oh-my-godding for You Love It. I think you're oh-my-godding for Sailor Mars.
Sailor Mars in this movie is the hottest thing ever in this world. Did I already send you a picture of this chick, Rocco?
Oh, yeah. Oh, this girl. Yeah. Wow. I can totally picture her in a sailor suit.
This girl... Oh, all right. We'll just keep... Sorry. Just start over.
Okay. So, the one I want to actually talk about, aside from Dragon Ball Evolution, is the live-action Sailor Moon. And I think Mitsugi has a thing for Sailor Mars, so why don't we just get that out of the way?
I'm trying to figure out what the actress's name is that plays the Sailor Mars. And the reason I'm having trouble is that I typed in IMDb Sailor Mars and there's Sailor Moon and there's like a million things.
That's because they probably cover the animated movies too. But, so, live-action Sailor Moon. Yeah. One thing that I will say positively about this is, one thing that annoys me is when the characters have, like, different hair colors other than black, and they kind of ignored that completely. And I get that it might be a bit odd to have a character with green hair, but sometimes characters have, like, blonde hair. And I'm like, alright, you can do blonde hair, no problem. Why don't you just make the person have blonde hair? GTO! I think the cool thing that they do is in the transformation scenes, they actually change their hair color, and it works out pretty well for them to do it like that. But other than that, this... Oh my god, it is so bad. It's like bad 90s CG... with terrible acting and, like, terrible dialogue. I think it's really hard to transfer an anime that has so much effects and magic involved with it. Especially back before they had, like, as good of CG readily available. I mean, at the time, maybe it was awesome, but especially nowadays, it's bad. And even the CG aside,
well, it suffers from the dialogue. It suffers from the same problem Iria has.
Yeah.
A low budget.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much all there is to it. I mean, no one in Japan really... The Japanese market for television really isn't really that great. And I think the most popular things on TV...
Movies, too. Not just TV.
Yeah, movies... I mean, the movie industry's not big either. And in Japan, I feel like the anime has a large share of the television market. I mean, think about how crappy Japanese game shows are. The same thing...
I think they're awesome.
Well, they're awesome in their own way, but they... The same thing gets applied to movies. Except for in movies, like stuff like special effects is a lot more
important. Yeah. The other thing I will say, the other redeeming quality, because I don't know, I don't feel like I'm in a mood to rip on things tonight, is that they do have the girls casted well. Hot Sailor Mars aside.
Oh my god, this might take a minute. I have given you both a link to a big spread of photos.
I've seen her.
Her name's, for anybody listening to this,
oh my god,
do yourself a favor. This girl's name's Keiko Kitagawa, K-E-I-K-O-K-I-T-A-G-A-W-A. This girl is literally a supermodel. I mean, she's on the cover of magazines and stuff, and this picture spread on Google. I mean, they couldn't have casted a hotter chick. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It makes the anime worth watching just by itself.
Well, I mean, even her aside here. Hold on, let me send you guys this girl.
This really might be the hottest girl I've seen ever.
That's Sailor Mercury. I mean, I'm not trying to claim she's as hot, but she's definitely easy on the eyes.
She's hot too, but I mean, she's not even close.
I mean, again, she's not Sailor Mars hot, but she's good looking. So I think one of the things that this series has going for it is, you know, they casted people pretty well. They're all good looking, and I like what they did with the hair. But other than that, like, the enemies just look silly. The CG is weird and out of place. The magical girl transformation is just kind of ridiculous in live action. I don't even know if there was any way they could have saved that, but if there was, they need a lot more creativity to do it. So, yeah, I'm not going to even go on anymore. You get what I'm saying.
Yeah, it suffers from the bad budget syndrome. I mean, yeah. That's pretty much as simple as it gets. Let's do a couple good ones.
Why? We only have two more bad ones.
All right, we'll go ahead and continue.
Get them out of the way.
Bad ones. The Higurashi movie.
That's a live-action?
There's a live-action Higurashi movie. Did you ever... Am I the only one here to watch this?
You did a review on it a while back. Hold on. Let me pull up the episode. Or find out what episode.
The live-action Higurashi movie isn't, like, the worst thing in the world. I really wouldn't recommend it too much. I really suggest that people just go
you
watch...
You did it in the first episode, by the way.
Really? Wow. No wonder I can't remember that much about it. I remember that the movie... This movie is not something I really would recommend, simply because I think that it's more important to go watch the anime. But one of the nice things about the movie is that because the village from the anime was modeled after a real village, the anime shot in that same village.
Oh, that's cool.
So it has really accurate setting. It has a really accurate setting, and right down to like the little streams that run through along the streets and things like that. But it's just kind of like a dumbed down version of Higurashi, you know, because they can't really do the same types of things in live action that they would do in regular footage, and also they really can't capture the whole essence of the series in one film. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Oh, and the psychotic girl's laughter is terrible. It's just not as good.
Is it as bad as the English dub?
Oh God, no. that shit is horrible.
And I think our last one for bad live actions is also one of yours, Mitsugi, Boogie Pop Phantom.
Boogie Pop Phantom movie. I think it's Boogie Pop and Friends or Boogie Pop and Others. I would stay away from this movie too. It basically suffers from the same issues that the Sailor Moon movie and the Iria movie have.
BBS.
Where, I mean, Boogie Pop is kind of like a sci-fi supernatural anime. And it's just a really difficult thing to capture.
I don't know how they would translate. Like, I don't even have an idea of how they would translate that.
The problem is that, like, some movies, like the ones we're going to talk about, is good. They translate really well because they're not out there, if that makes sense. I mean, Boogie Pop, you've got Boogie Pop slinging around this, like, weapon with, like, a jewel on the end. You know, killing manticores and stuff. And it just doesn't translate well. And it ends up, like, being this mishmash like nightmare of crap. I don't even know how to really explain it, but it's one of the worst ones on the list. I mean, it's down there with Iria for sure. Issues, but we have better good ones. We've kind of that's kind of a warning. I think we spent too much time on that. So, I want to start off the good list with one that I saw in theater, Speed Racer.
Yeah, I liked Speed Racer.
I thought that was fun. I thought the whole spinning around was kind of goofy, but other than that, I thought it was a good movie. I like there were a couple the races and all the crazy gadgets that would pop out of the cars, just like in the cartoons, were pretty good. I don't really remember any crazy out of place CG or anything like that.
Yeah, that was what I was going to say, is a lot of the CG really worked for it. And even though it was kind of like a multicolored acid trip sometimes, it worked being a multicolored acid trip, and I don't normally say that.
Well, who doesn't like a multicolored acid trip? I mean,
I another one of the things about this movie that, of course, I have to just point out, because that's just the way I'm thinking tonight, is that Christina Ricci, although I don't really think that she's normally that hot, she's pretty hot in this movie. She played the role of Trixie, who's kind of like one of Speed's friends, I guess. I don't really know. But the movie's definitely like fine family fun. I think if you're an epileptic, you'll probably die through this movie.
Yes, you would.
There's so much like... it's kind of like watching F-Zero, the video game, you know? With like all the cars that like run, that like can go upside down along the sides of the walls and things. This movie is like it's like basically staring at a strobe light for 2 hours, but it's really fast paced. The pacing's excellent, and I don't know, I just had a lot of fun watching.
Yeah, fun movie.
A lot of people really didn't enjoy it as much as I did, but you know, they can piss off.
I agree.
I thought it was good. I remember seeing it fairly intoxicated, so that made it even better.
Nah. What don't you do fairly intoxicated?
Hey, leave me alone. I've made vast improvements.
I think another movie which is worth mentioning for the live-action movies would be Nana, which is a personal favorite. And we've talked about it many times about how, you know, band animes are very kind of realistic in a lot of ways, and they don't have a lot of fantasy. And that's one of the things it has going for it, is it has a really good cast. It stays very close to the series and manga, and it's just a good representation. Like, there's nothing that seems really out of place, because it's about, like, punk people and bands and things like that. So it's not like they have to have a high budget to make it really well. And I think knowing how to choose good subject material is a good idea when making a live-action anime movie, and I thumbs up them for that.
Is the music good? Or is it just, like, lip-syncing and, you know, music played, like, over top of the footage?
I'm not sure if it's lip-syncing or not, but if it is, it didn't, like, scream obnoxiously, oh, this is lip-syncing. You know?
Okay.
But I think it is lip-syncing because they had, it's kind of almost like the Macross, where they had one girl do one of the singer's voices and another pop girl do another one of the singer's voices. And I don't think they're acting in this movie. Let me see if I can find out.
I guess that makes sense. I mean, I haven't seen this, and I also haven't read the manga or watched the anime. So I don't really have a lot to contribute to the discussion of Nana. I know that Roku hasn't seen it either. So this is just kind of like you.
Yeah,
I've seen some episodes, but I have not seen the live action at all.
But I know that the manga and the anime are both regarded as being very good.
It is really good, why.
Well, you recommend that people watch the anime, though, instead? I mean, is it one of those things where you just stay away from it? I mean, where it's like, if you can only watch one or the other, just watch the anime. Is that kind of how it is? Is that how it is with most things?
Well, I mean, I recommend watching the anime, if only because, like, the Nana movies is the entire series fit into two movies, and the series is like 52 episodes or something like that.
Right.
So it's like, it's hard to take, you know, 25 plus hours of content and fit it into the span of, what, 4 hours?
Well, actually, 52 episodes would only be like 16 hours.
Well, I was just doing half, assuming every episode's 30 minutes, but I know every episode's more like 20.
Yeah.
But either way, I mean, you get what I'm saying, though. 16, 20, that's 16 or 20 down to 4 at most is...
It was probably rushed, is what you're saying.
They had to cut some stuff out. And, like, as far as what they did cut out versus what they did leave in, I thought it was a very good call, and I thought they still remained true.
Yeah.
As much as they could. Mika Nakashima, who does the voice, does do Nana. In the series, it's actually her, the girl who sang for the anime, is the live action girl.
Yeah.
She's
pretty hot.
Yeah, no, she's good looking.
As most Japanese pop stars are. God, this episode's like the live action show. Is the girl hot or not? Because if she's not hot, this sucks. Fortunately, they usually are.
But despite being like a pop star, she was a pretty good actress, and I just, as far as watching the anime versus watching the series, of course I'd always recommend the anime just because it is longer. But if you're only going to watch one, and or if it's between watching the series or watching the live-action movie, I can talk. If it's between watching the live-action movie or not watching anything, I'm going to recommend watching the live-action movie because it's a great story.
Yeah. Just for the sake of time, okay, just to make sure we get to it, I want to talk about what is probably the best on the list, in my opinion.
Can I guess?
Sure.
Is it GTO?
Not GTO.
Not GTO?
Nope. The best, in my opinion, the best live-action thing out there is the movie Old Boy.
Oh, that's a live-action?
Old Boy is based after a manga. It's about a man, as according to IMDb, an average man is kidnapped and imprisoned in a shabby cell for 15 years without explanation. It's more like a hotel room, but whatever. He is then released, equipped with money and a cell phone and expensive clothes. As he strives to explain his imprisonment and get his revenge, he soon finds out that not only does his kidnapper still have plans for him, but that those plans will serve as the even worse finale to 15 years of imprisonment. I think the tagline for the movie is like 15 years of imprisonment, 5 days of revenge. Just to give you an idea of how good the movie is, it's ranked as the 104th best movie of all time on IMDb.
This movie is amazing. If this movie came out in America, and I don't care if anyone wants to defend the Academy Awards or whatever and be like, oh, it's fair. No, it's not fair to foreign films. If this movie came out in America, it would have been like Slumdog Millionaire. I really believe that. It would have taken for its soundtrack alone.
Best original score.
Best original score. It would have been
Cries and Whispers.
Oh my god,
would
I
have,
love
Cries
and Whispers.
Cries and Whispers would have taken it, I think. It would have a shot. It would get a lot of nominations.
Yeah.
I don't know how many it would win just because of the subject matter. This movie is really, really gritty. I don't know how else to put it. There's a lot. I've shown this movie to numerous friends, and not many of them can handle the subject content that the movie has in it, because it really is a movie about revenge. It's a part of the revenge trilogy by director Chan-wook Park, who the other ones include Symphony for Lady Revenge and
Symphony for Lady Vengeance.
Symphony for Lady Vengeance and like Symphony for Mr. Vengeance or something. This is the best movie of the three. It's a 2-hour film, came out in 2003. It's a high-budget movie. It isn't like your average film. This movie is more like an American film. It's not in English, it's in Korean.
Cinematography is great.
Cinematography is marvelous. But it does have gritty material. It has very objectionable content in it. It has a lot of violence.
This is one that if you haven't seen it, and you don't know anyone who has, I recommend watching it by yourself, unless you have a friend that you know is going to be okay with a lot of messed up shiat. I don't recommend being like, hey, mom and dad, they recommended this anime movie on the AAA podcast. Let's watch it together.
You'd never think it was an anime movie. I had no idea that it was until I saw the manga in a bookstore like years later. One of the things in the movie that's pretty hard to watch is that one guy does get his teeth pulled out with the back of a hammer.
You just ruined part of the best point.
That doesn't ruin anything. That has nothing to do with like any of the amazing plot twist that happens in the film.
I suppose the movie does have a lot of objectionable things in it, especially sexual content. Very offensive to, well, it can be. I mean, it didn't really bother me much, but it was kind of like, wow, it's kind of screwed up.
Yeah.
So do you guys want to jump onto another film?
Sure.
Yeah, sure. I would like to make mention of this film, and I think a lot of people have probably already seen it, given its popularity, but I'd love to make mention of Death Note, because I think that's one of I don't know why you guys are whomping.
We're Death Note haters on this podcast.
Death Note. What's Death Note? Do you know what Death Note is?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I think Death Note live action was a really well done live action. They CG'd Ryuk so that he didn't look awkward and weird. The cast was perfect. They covered the important parts of the series. Again, it was one of those, of course it's going to be rushed, you know, where you condense that amount of material. But they did a very good job of condensing it in such a way that it didn't necessarily feel that rushed. And the cast was perfect, the dialogue was good. It was just a really well-done live-action movie, and it actually seemed like it had some amount of budget to it. It didn't seem like a weekend project for some amateur hour director.
Yeah, I didn't see the movie, and I haven't seen all of the anime either, so I don't know. Does that have any hot girls in it?
Misa's kind of hot.
Well, she's hot in the anime, but...
Link!
Alright, hold on.
Roko's calling for Link's.
I will be the one to judge this.
Alright, so the name of the girl in the live action is named Erica Toda. And I think she's pretty hot.
Erica Toda. Yes! Yes, she's quite hot.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, man, I'd do more than plant my seed.
Thank God for... good casting. It's like, it doesn't even matter if she's a good actress. It's like, does she have nice legs? Yes. Does she have nice arms? Yes. Is she hot? Does she have nice hair? Yep. Well, she's hot.
Let's see if we can get naked photos of her.
But, I mean, like, here, hold on. Let me show you guys a picture of Elle. I know we're not assessing hotness on this one, so don't be too disappointed.
Man, now we're just wasting time.
But look at how well-casted Elle is.
It's just some loser in a white shirt with, like, tons of makeup on.
Oh my god, and it's just some random hot Asian chick with a punk outfit on.
Where?
No, there's a lot more ugly people in the world than hot people, and this guy is ugly. He's basically a Japanese guy who grew his hair out for 5 months and let it get really shaggy, and then they messed it up with, like, a blow dryer, and then they gave him a bag of chips... and a white random shirt, and then put like enough makeup on his face that his eyebrows look like they're missing. I mean, look at his face.
He looks like a sociopath.
He looks like a zombie out of a zombie movie that hasn't bitten anybody yet because his shirt's still white. Except you have Erica Toda who's laying out hotness all over the place. Well, what they say, like, 10% of the population is, like, attractive.
All right, well, in any case, live-action Death Note, I recommend it for more than just the hot Asian girl.
Don't mess with my hot Asian girls. All right?
Oh, God.
Sugi, you're in your...
Sugi, can we go to Asia?
Can we go to Asia? I've already been there 3 times, but...
Take me with you.
All right, well, if you got enough money to go, we'll go. All right, we only have time for one more of these, and we got 4 on our list. So, I will just... Which one do we want to do?
GTO, obviously.
I kind of don't want to do GTO.
Really?
What?
I know, Roko, but everybody knows we love GTO, and it's kind of like...
It's a good live action!
We should just say that the GTO live action movie and live action series are both good.
Fine, just check them out, then.
I think it's BS they didn't bleach his hair, by the way.
His hair's not bleached. The live action series is better than the movie. It's one movie, and then, like, 6 1-hour... like, episodes, miniseries. Other good ones on here, Initial D is good. Street Racing is really translatable to live action. I think that's a given.
I think we have seen that in the Fast and Furious movies.
We've talked about Battle Royale. Battle Royale movie is good. It's very violent. It translates well. The one movie on here that I think most people don't really think about, and it's not even really anime, really, but Parasite Eve, live action. The Parasite Eve live action movie is based after a video game, and this movie is really good. Like, it's also low budget, but because it does have some really good special effects at the end, people bursting into flames and things like that. But it's about this guy whose wife dies, in a car accident, and it's got a lot of science stuff in it, as the regular video game does with all this talk of mitochondria. But then, of course, you have I don't want to spoil too much of it, but the guy just scientific experiments using his wife, and he gets kind of obsessed about it, and he ends up doing some bad stuff, and Eve is born, and it's just a really good movie. It's not too long. It's kind of like a sci-fi thriller. Toshiaki Nagashima is a biologist who is doing major research on mitochondria. His beautiful young wife tragically dies in a car accident, and she ends up brain dead. And in desperation, he steals her liver from her body in order to receive the mitochondria from it, to resurrect his wife from the dead. The killer mitochondria takes the form of his assistant, who then uses the biologist for the most for the host of a horrifying new species that is threatening to take over the world. That is kind of, that's pretty close to what the answer, what the game's about. But, you know, it kind of reminds me of Pet Sematary in a way, but this movie is really good. Like, I don't know if Chiaki's seen it.
I think I've seen some of it. I feel like we started watching it together and then something came up.
Yeah, last time I was sick, I watched it while I wasn't feeling well.
Mitsugi was sick.
I don't get sick often. That was like 3 years ago. I think Roko's seen this movie, but it's pretty good. I mean, I wouldn't watch this.
Parasite Eve?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it was a good one. I like it. I'm going to actually download that. I forgot about that movie.
I just wanted to mention it because I know that a lot of people haven't thought of it. Like, everyone knows Battle Royale live actions out there. Everybody knows Initial D's out there. But Parasite Eve, maybe not. So, do we have any closing comments?
I don't know. I think closing comment would be just see what everyone else is saying and see how hot the Asian chicks are. I guess that was our point through all of this.
Well, if there's a hot Asian chick in the movie, it's a given. You need to watch it.
All right. But
I know that our listeners appreciate this because I think 90% of them are guys. If you're one of the lucky females out there, I feel like most girls appreciate a hot girl too, though.
Speaking personally, I appreciate a hot woman. It's like looking at a work of art. You just sit there and you're like, damn.
I mean, I'm not like a chauvinist with the hot Asian girls. Like, I genuinely appreciate like a hot chick in a movie. I mean, it's just nice to have a hot girl in a movie. I don't know.
Yeah.
I like movies.
I'm not gonna make her do my dishes, you know. Although
she can do my dishes.
She can do Roko's dishes, but like, you know, it's just nice to have a hot chick.
I have a rolling pin she can wash over and over and over again.
So on that note, we're going to take a quick anime news break. We're going to come back, and we're going to review two excellent anime for you. We felt like giving good anime this week, I guess. You know, that's just how we are sometimes. Golden Boy and Castle of Cagliostro, an old Miyazaki movie.
Yep.
And we'll be back in 5 minutes.
This is Chiaki, and this is your first and only anime news break. Starting right off, Summer Wars is in the news again. The International Animated Film Society, or ASIFA, Hollywood for short, has recently announced the nominations for the 38th annual Annie Awards. And of course, the Annie Awards stands for Animation. They're going to be presented at UCLA in LA on February 5th, 2011. And Mamoru Hosoda has been nominated in the Directing in a Feature Production category for the anime Summer Wars. Distributors Funimation and G-Kids also have already submitted Summer Wars for a possible Oscar nomination. And the film has already won the Japan Academy's Animation of the Year Award. So if you haven't seen this movie yet, I really recommend checking it out because it seems to be taking the award ceremonies by storm. In other anime/random Japanese news, papercraft is something that's very popular in Japan. And for anyone who doesn't know, papercraft is a hobby where you take pieces of paper that have been previously cut and you assemble them into making a model of some kind or a shape or whatever. And there's all kinds of papercraft out there. Well, recently, the Japanese hobby and crafts maker, Sankei, has begun selling a 1/150th scale papercraft diorama of Satsuki's and Mei homes from My Neighbor Totoro. Yep, the classic home that they move in the countryside where they meet Totoro can now be bought for 4,578 yen, which is about $55 US, tax included. In the kit comes 11 laser cut color cardstock sheets, which include trees, and a very special sheet for the roofing, a plastic sheet, and a base. It has the traditional Japanese home, the classic Western front, and even down to the Kusakabe's family's bicycle. Sankei suggests that it takes 10 hours to complete, so if you calculate out shipping,
It should take about 6 days and 10 hours to complete from the time that you listen to this podcast to get this papercraft model in your home. And in other news, the live-action adaptation of the space opera Space Battleship Yamato has recently come out this past December 4th to 5th weekend, and it has been met with astounding success. The distributor Toho recently made an announcement that the film was seen 412,129 times and made about $6.4 million on the 4th to 5th weekend alone, which has put the film at number 1 on the weekend office box chart in Japan. In the film, the 38-year-old SMAP band member Takuya Kimura is headlining it, which of course is going to get a lot of SMAP fans over in Japan heading out to see the film. If you're a mech fan, a space opera fan, or just like to see live-action anime, I highly recommend checking this movie out whenever it is possible. This has been Chiaki, and this was your anime news break. Now, back to the show.
A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, some guys got together and started a variety podcast. They talked about anime, sci-fi, music, movies, video games, politics, the internet, memes, trolls, and much more.
Now a year later, they are proving the more things change, the more they stay the same. Just like before, they are refusing to be the silent majority and are taking the fight to the trolls and other nitwits that give nerds a bad name.
So join us on iTunes, Facebook, and Mevio, and check us out at rrftp.blogspot.com. And this is how we fight the power.
Welcome deep into the dungeons of the AAA forums.
But when you take your shirt off and it looks like someone had fun with the bedazzler...
The bedazzler.
I mean, I have a problem.
The bedazzler.
Somebody spilled the glitter. They're like, oh, shoo, whoops. Well, now you're shiny.
And trailer.
Trash.
Row, row, find the power!
Hi, my name is Tony Oliver, voice of Arsene Lupin III from Lupin III, the TV series, and I am an anime addict.
So, welcome back to the 64th episode of the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast. We're here to make your anime addiction worse, and if we have to strap you down and inject you with anime crack, that's how we'll do it.
I'll do it. I'm crazy.
Roko's crazy like that.
Crazy.
Shit.
I got the equipment. Just give me your address, and I'll be there in 5.
We got 2 reviews for you today. Golden Boy and Castle of Cagliostro, as promised. I'm going to do Golden Boy. I don't know how many of you haven't seen Golden Boy, but this is one of the funniest animes out there. And it truly is an anime that I think everybody should see. Golden Boy is about a man named Kentaro Oe, who is what they refer to as a freeder. Somebody who does like random odd jobs and then like moves on from job to job frequently. Now, you might think he's a loser, but he actually went to Tokyo University Law School and quit 1 credit short of graduating because he wanted to do more. Because he knew that once he finished up his law degree, he was just going to do law for the rest of his life and get locked down and that'd be the end of it. But he wanted to do some odd jobs and stuff to experience more of life. So the show is about his kind of endeavors going from job to job. It's a 6-episode OVA. And each OVA takes place doing a different job. The first job, he works at a computer store. It's called Computer Lesson. Second job, the second episode, called Temptation of the Maiden, he is a campaign rallier for a political figure. Third episode, called Danger, the Virgin's First Love, he's working at a ramen shop. The fourth episode, Swimming in the Sea of Love, is I know that every single one of these episodes has like love in it or something. He's a swim coach at a swimming place. Fifth episode, called Balls to the Wall, is he's working at like an inn and he gets like caught up with like this crazy ass sex fiend girl who, like, is supposed to be a maiden, but she actually, like, grinds on her motorcycle. And the last episode, he works as an animator, like an in-between animation runner. This is a really great show, and Kentaro Oe kind of reminds me of Onizuka. It's kind of hard to explain how he's like Onizuka, but basically he just overcomes odds, like the odds, you know, every time. He always has, like, the odds against him, and in the end, he always ends up amazing everybody, and at the end of every episode, each girl that, like, he's involved with in each episode basically falls for him. And at the end of the series, they're all, like, trying to find Kentaro to, like, you know, make him theirs. And the show's really perverted. Like, in the first episode, the first thing that happens is this chick in a Lamborghini, like runs him off the road. He always rides around on this mountain bike, the Mikazuki 5.
And I have seen this.
He ends up crashing into some garbage. She gives him 10 grand, right? And here's an example of how he's like Onizuka. She gives him 10 grand for his pain and suffering, because she's like the owner of a software company and she's rich. And he ends up giving the 10 grand to some old people who own a bicycle repair shop, and they're in trouble with the mafia because they borrowed money and can't repay it. And, you know, he gets in some trouble at the software company and he turns off their server and he raises, like, a whole bunch of their work. And, you know, she wants to fire him, but instead she just makes him do, like, really horrible work as like, punishments. And at the end of the episode, he ends up fixing all of their software and, like, rebuilding it even better. And then she's, like, running, and then he leaves. Like, you know, he just gives her, like, a CD and then leaves because he just wants to move on. But he wants to, like right is wrong also. So she's, like, the owner's, like, running around with her boobs flying around because she wears, like, these really low-cut dresses. And she's, like, trying to find Kentaro because he's, like, amazing. And then at the bottom floor of the company building, she runs into the bicycle repair shop owners, these old people, and they're like, "Oh, where's Kentaro? We wanted to thank him for loaning us the $10,000. You know, and she had accused him of, like, squandering the money. So she's like, you know, that's like over the top for her, because she realizes, like, Kentaro's, like, the greatest guy ever. And she's, like, all flustered and running around trying to find him. I don't know, it's just a really great show. It's got really funny humor in it. Like, in the second episode, this girl is, like, she thinks she's basically abusing her sexuality by, you know, teasing Kentaro. But in the end, he's just, like, kind of enjoying it, you know? And so, in the end, he's kind of using her. And there's one scene where she's holding his hand, and they're walking down this hallway, and he's just like, "Oh, I can't, I wonder what it would feel like if my hand was actually my penis." And then, like, his hand, like, changes shape and becomes his penis. You know, it's funny. I see it, like, but, like, here's another example of kind of how he's Onizuka. At the end of the episode, of the second episode, with the political figure and his daughter, you know, she's teasing him sexually, and she ends up cutting up her clothes with some scissors and screaming, and, you know, all, like, these mafia guys rush in. They're all, like, Yakuza. And they're, you know, like, they all think that Kentaro basically is starting to assault her because she says that he is, and her clothes are all ripped up, and she makes him hold the scissors. And so, but he doesn't make any excuses, and he just lets the Yakuza guys beat the crap out of him rather than, like, blaming it on the girl, you know, because he's just, like, very virtuous. But, on a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of funniness, the show gets probably a 10.
Oh my god, it had people raffling when we showed it at Anime Club.
Yeah, we showed it at Anime Club. This is, like, an Anime Club favorite. I mean, every time we, like, cycled through people in our club, we would always have to show this anime again, because it's basically the funniest, up there with Azumanga, it's, like, the funniest anime ever. I mean, it's short enough that, like, the humor doesn't get old.
And not to mention there's an element of just, like, feel-goodness to it.
Well, Kentaro is a great character.
Of course he is, and that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not like it's just funny at the expense of being funny, or that you have no attachment to the characters. Like, you love Kentaro Oe.
I love him. I mean, the only thing I would say about the anime is that it's a little sexist.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, unless you're, like, one of those, you know, feminist, like, crazy girl women that, like, get offended at absolutely everything that even might be slightly sexist, you're gonna, like, overlook it and just enjoy the damn show.
But it's kind of supposed to be sexist. Like, it's supposed to have that level of ridiculousness, you know?
Yeah, well, in every episode, the girl ends up, like, starts out hating Kentaro, and then in the end, they're, like, in love with him. And it's kind of predictable in that way, but, you know, I mean, if I was a chick, Kentaro, I'd probably want Kentaro, too. He's pretty awesome. And, like, at the end of that episode, with the Yakuza boss's daughter, you know, his face is beaten to a pulp, and they're, like, driving him to the edge of town so he can just move on. You know, and then the Yakuza boss is like, oh, you know, if he ever comes back, he'll do great things. You know, he never made any excuses. You know, even though he knows the daughter said that, like, it wasn't him. And then in the end, the daughter whispers into his ear, you know, that when he comes back to town, she wants him to be the one to take her virginity. And that's just, like, the kind of show this is. It's just a really fantastic show. I mean, it is a little bit simple, but it's the perfect length. It's just, you know, the six OVAs. And in the end, I think I would end up having to give it, I'm going to give it 4.5, you know.
I think that's a fair score.
Yeah, awesome, you know, girls fiending for Kentaro out of 5. I mean, it's a really great show. It's hard for me to give it a 5 out of 5 just because it's so simple. But, Golden Boy is not a show that anybody should miss out on. Especially, you have no excuse since it's only 6 episodes long. And they're only 25 minutes each. So.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, my review is on Lupin the Third, The Castle of Cagliostro.
Great movie.
Great movie.
It's great!
Yes.
It's food!
It was directed by Hayao Miyazaki. This was actually done way back in 1979, even before Ghibli existed. It was one of Miyazaki's first movies. He also had a hand in writing it, along with Haruya Yamazaki. And it is, of course, based off of Lupin the Third. It's only 100 minutes runtime, so, you know, an hour 40 minutes, which isn't too long.
No, it's a good length for a film, I mean.
Yeah. So the story is, you know, your kind of generic Lupin the Third story. He's tracking these legendary counterfeits known as the Goat Bills. And, of course, Lupin arrives at the Duchy of Cagliostro, which is, you know, this big, almost like medieval castle with, like, this royalty type person or pseudo royalty. And once he gets there, he meets Clarice, the princess of Cagliostro, who's engaged to be married to the count, who's the country's ruler. Of course, there's a sinister level to this marriage, and the count secretly wants this ancient treasure of the Cagliostro family, and he needs the princess's ring to do so. So, of course, the count doesn't really care about the princess. The count is just after riches and power and things like that. So, realizing kind of what's going on, and also realizing that they have some kind of riches hidden behind there, Lupin is outnumbered by the count's elite assassins. And who does he call? Goemon?
Ghostbusters?
Yes.
Goemon and Jigen.
Yes.
Jigen Daisuke.
Jigen. So they come and they help out Lupin, and it's just, I mean, it's your normal Lupin hijinks.
We don't forget about Fujiko.
Oh, yes, Fujiko does show up.
And I think it's blonde Fujiko.
It is blonde Fujiko.
This is old school Lupin.
Yes, it is blonde Fujiko. I should do a cosplay of Fujiko.
Fujiko is definitely a sexy chick. She'd be a great Bond girl. She's basically a Bond girl.
She really is.
I mean, Fujiko, man, okay.
But of course Fujiko shows up, and she's trying, you know, to do her own thing, and her and Lupin have their normal, like...
Yeah, you know, she always has, like, a side agenda.
Yeah, she has the, I love you, Lupin, but not enough to not want to do my own thing.
This is an old movie, you know?
It is an old movie, but it's you know, your classic Lupin. I remember the scene where, you know, Lupin is running on the rooftops and, like, using almost, like, a grappling hook to, like, get from rooftop to rooftop to storm into the princess's room.
Well, in the end, he's just trying to rescue the girl.
Yeah,
you know?
Because Lupin ends up
like, falling in love with her, kind of.
Yeah, but not, I mean, it's Lupin. He doesn't really end up loving her. And that's not really a spoiler, because everyone knows that it's just a one-shot in the series, so it can't change anything.
See,
too much.
Like, this is kind of like young Lupin in my mind, and I think in this movie he comes closer to like really loving the girl than like in a lot of the other cases.
I would agree with that assessment.
I mean, he doesn't end up with the girl, but like I really think he wanted to be. And I want to say, I'm not sure if you said it yet, but I think this is Miyazaki's first film. Like, his first anime that he directed was Future Boy Conan, but this is just 1 year older than that.
Yeah.
But what's amazing is I think this movie looks so much better than Future Boy Conan does.
This movie looks very good. For the time, it had an astounding budget.
I mean, this movie's 31 years old.
Yeah.
Holy, you know, 32 shit. Years old.
Holy shnikes.
But it's just, like, if you like Lupin the Third at all, I really recommend watching it.
How was that? If you even have a soul or like anime in general, if you like living and breathing, and if you are human, you will like this movie.
I don't know if I want to give it a 4.5 or a straight up 5.
It's a difficult movie to give a 5 out of 5.
It is a difficult, like, for what it is, it's a good movie, and I want to give it a 5 out of 5. But what it is not very much, technically.
I mean, there's so many, like, things in these movies that don't make sense.
Yeah.
You know, like, where does Fujiko get, like, the helicopter?
Yeah.
You know, and, like,
where does she come from?
You know, she just kind of comes out of nowhere. And, of course, did you even mention Zenigata?
Well, I mentioned, not really. Zenigata's always there.
Because Zenigata and Lupin kind of work together in this movie.
They do.
What?
And, of course, they start out, like, trying to, like, he starts out trying to capture Lupin, but then, like, they both end up in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, but, like, really, anybody who watches Lupin the Third knows that Zenigata really likes Lupin, you know? There's even, like, a scene where, like, later in the series where Zenigata actually thinks Lupin's dead, and he's actually, like, really upset about it. And then Lupin comes back, and he's like, I'm not dead, but oh, Pops, you were worried about me, and he gives him, like, a hug. It's like, you can't catch Lupin. It's like, you know, he can slip out of handcuffs. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Which I don't see how with those massive hands, but
he can dislocate his wrists. He dislocates his wrists and pulls them out.
I'm going to give it 4.5 printing plates out of 5 because I just think the movie is very good, and sure, it brings down because of those technical aspects we were talking about, but for the time, it was astounding. It's still a really good movie, and
this movie stands up to current films.
It really does.
Maybe not like technically because it's not like everything's not digital, you know, but I mean, this movie is not, it's not the kind of, you watch it, you wouldn't think it was made in 1979.
Yeah.
At all.
So
it's really great. I would check it out for sure.
No doubt.
Even if you don't like Lupin the Third, it's not really a movie you can really not like.
Yeah.
It's a very likable film. So, great. Good stuff. You guys, I think you guys got a lot of good stuff tonight. I think if you haven't seen Golden Boy or Lupin the Third, Castle of Cagliostro, you're really, really doing yourself a disservice. These are animes that pretty much anybody can enjoy. Get your friends together, gather around the TV, sit down and watch it and enjoy it. You know, you could watch Castle of Cagliostro with your family. It's not really objectionable, you know. And yet it has enough like action and romance in it that it appeals to both guys and girls. So, you know, if you like showing anime to your family, get your mom and dad around and tell them you're going to watch some old school Lupin the Third. And, Christ, just the box art for this movie should get people hooked. It's got Lupin wearing, like, badass head bandages, and he's got a wrench in his hand, and it's, like, money flying around. G-Gun's firing his guns, and he got his waving his arms like he's nuts. And then you've got Lupin with his arm, green jacket Lupin, I might add, with his arm around the chick, the princess. So, cool. Well, you guys, if this has been the 46th episode of the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast, I've given my spiel. And, of course, once again, our website that Chiaki built for us is www.aaapodcast.com. Not WordPress. iTunes, Facebook, theaddnetwork.net, and nerdnexus.com. Come join our fan base on Facebook. We've got over 1,000 people now on Facebook. And
we love our Facebook people.
Many, many subscribers and fans on iTunes, and we love iTunes. It's great. And go check out all the wonderful other podcasts on the aaddnetwork.net. The ending and closing theme for you tonight is Akai Coat from the anime Arakawa Under the Bridge, X Bridge, by Sune O'Hare. And thanks for joining me tonight, you guys. It's been a good episode.
Have a great evening, everyone.
See you later. Omou mono motomeru dake no hibi wa sugiru fuyu o matazu ni hashaideru akai koto ni tsutsumareru kimi